I am Sarah Swenson, and the date is April 6, 2009, and I'm interviewing Mr. Richard Chubb, the principal of Hurt Park Elementary, and the location of the interview is at Gainsborough Public Library. And Mr. Chubb, can I have you initially start with what years were you the principal at Hurt Park Elementary School?
Oh, I came there by way of a decision, holding on to fight of keeping Harrison School in September 1975. They made a decision with the 4th District, so I didn't know where I was going. I was just going to be a principal. In fact, I told them if I had to be in China, but I better be back home in 15 minutes. I was very outspoken about it. So they made a decision to call me on a Friday. And, of course, that was the Friday evening. They told me to go to Hurt Park, and the teachers were to arrive Monday, so you can imagine everybody shocked. You know, they said that they realized that I wasn't going to give and for me to go to Hurt Park. So that was I would say that must have been somewhere in July. Or it might have been even the early part of August. And I stayed there from 71 till I got tired and took a leave of absence. And then I just traveled in and had an opportunity to see some things I wanted to do. And then I took a leave of absence and I set up my own personal business, REO Chubb Counseling Consulting Service. And then I thought I'd probably be moved after that because someone said that they would make it real tough for me, you know. But the parents decided for me to come back after 15 years, and at the time I was about ready to do something different. So they demanded me to go back, and that was it. And then after that, I went to central office after that leave.
And why was obtaining an education for yourself so important when you were growing up in this community?
It was beautiful. My mom and dad, both of them were two of the greatest educators, I think, because they saw something that these parents don't see now. And I think what is happening to our African-American community, people began to place more things on material things than human beings. Well, you know, I won't mind to have it better, but it wasn't better if you didn't have that main thing, education. That's what the president is stressing now. And everybody, in fact, I'm in a neighborhood now with about the same number of homes we can say houses, I question that word home, but the same number of houses that I had in my neighborhood, where there might have been about 28 students with college degrees, and now we got motorhomes in my neighborhood, big cars, and don't have 10 college graduates. So the importance of education, my mom and dad, they didn't have an opportunity, but they knew that this was a way to better yourself. And so that was the thing they taught. There was a sacrifice. My daddy worked 5 jobs. He didn't make probably $60 a week, but out of 3 children, both of us were able to get advanced degrees.
Can you explain why education is important in the Hurt Park community, as when you were principal or today? Or
you see, people don't want to say this, but without an education, that means you're not going to have the type of jobs to expose your children better. And so a lot of things is by people being exposed. Education given me and my family, I've been able to reach back and pull up my family. But a lot of times, sometimes now, without the education that some of them are getting, with the stress and the importance, they don't see a way out of the economic trap. And they can argue, I know we were blessed because by stress and education, it wasn't about money and material things, but the way things are now with technology, you know, you got to have money. And I knew in our area then, our parents didn't have the top jobs, but they value education. So it was so important not only to me, but for that community. And my style of dress and everything, a lot of people, they might call them disadvantaged, but I say if it's ever disadvantaged, disadvantaged people need exposure, not enclosure. So I had a style for them. You know, you didn't see me for all this wild stuff on. I would go in and visit homes and just like a family. And so a lot of them, they modeled after me. We had to even address day basically on Fridays, you know, and found out then children didn't fight or get as restless when they was dressed up. So it was a style for the community as being a role model, and they just got away from some of the things that we're seeing being programmed for disadvantaged people.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe the experience of integration in the Roanoke school system and Hurt Park?
Well, the Roanoke school system, the worst thing that ever happened in Roanoke, we didn't have a four-year black college. When I was at Bluefield State, a group of us in 1959, and we started the latter part of 58, we were students, and of course the people in the community got upset because we picketed things like the stores and everything. Basically, Roanoke mostly got down by sitting down and say, this is all right, you know. So it was set up according to what the system, I would say. And that system could have been involved with some blacks, you know, but the thing that really was sad, just like in 71, going up and down the streets trying to get people to keep the school open, I was telling them, that's your community. Once you lose the school, that's your community. So it was really tough, you know. In other words, I know what happened because I was really blackballed. You know, you speak up like it, with the whole system saying you're a trouble person. That meant I was a trouble in the county and everywhere because I just spoke up for the rights. So it was a tough thing back when I was coming up. In fact, I can go back even further because, see, as a student, sometimes I had to wait a week to get a desk. I finished Addison in 1954. And so not only that, even before my time, the teachers were paid even less. The library books were less. So coming up, you know, like if I go downtown, you know, there were certain things people would call, you know, little names if you were at the wrong place. And so it was tough because I worked beside a white fella in the bakery. And he's got about like $10 more in a week than I did. We did the same thing. So growing up, it was really tough because even in church, sometimes I was wondering, you know, and we had to go to church two or three times a day, but we would sing Jesus Loves the Little Children, All the Children of the World, Red and Yellow, Black and White. And then I would ask questions, well, you know, what about me, you know? So it was a confused type thing, you know, because you just didn't understand why you work hard and your parents don't get as much as someone else. So it's a touching thing. But like I say, you know, the value of that education, they say, if you're going to get out of it, I'm sacrificing for you where you won't have to take it. And anytime I would act up, my daddy worked five jobs, two of them, the family, we had to help him. And he always would say, yes, sir, to the people of above. He said, I'm taking this. I'd be upset. So I'm taking this one day. You won't have to take it.
Mm-hmm. Through your years as the Hurt Park Elementary School principal, how did you see the goals or challenges facing the students change?
Well, I was on a mission, and I look back at it now. I don't regret it. I was determined to make a change, you know, and nothing was going to stop it. I just felt that everybody was going to learn. I believe in working my philosophy with the total child, the cognitive, the affected, and the psychomotor. In other words, just like I don't apologize, I had very strict, I had a beautiful office, TV, record player, carpet, and all. And they knew they had three slips, pink slips. If you're the first one you got, you come to my office, we talk, might take a car ride. The next time I go to the parents, let them know that, look, we're going to have structure here. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to correct your children that way. But somebody got to be the dad, and I'm happy to be here. Now, if you get the third one, they belong to me with a little old nice little paddle before a teacher. Now, what did that do? Rules are made out of love. I'm rich now because it's not a week that goes by a student or a teacher don't come and check with me. So with that philosophy, being on a mission, and it was settled around the total child, as I was saying, the cognitive, just like you have to put 2 + 2 in logical order, the intellect, you got to also put the affected domain things in logical, like feelings, emotion, anger. I would help them to do that. Because a lot of times, that's what the problem is of today. We got people smart, but they don't know how to put emotion, anger, and fears in logical order. And that's why you see so much killing and all. But I work with the total child, the psychomotor. A lot of them, they had some natural skills there, you know, sports and all. But I want to let them know, you got to put all these three things together. And a lot of times people stress so much about getting A's and B's, but they don't know about the inner scars of a person, you know. And I was able to tack that. That was a gift. And as I was on a mission, that we had the time I stayed there, the first 15 years had only one suspension. Nobody could touch that. I just told the teachers, we're not going to have it. They had 4 or 5 suspensions a week when I went there. They were breaking in 3 or 4 times a week at the school. They didn't touch it in 15 years. So when I left that year, they put someone in there, and they moved about 16 people. So when I came back, I could see the damage that was done because it was built on the people being there year after year after year with the same philosophy of working with the total child. And then, you know, how people go right back to strictly the intellect, and nothing wrong with that. See, the three of the greatest R's, they stressed when I was coming up reading, writing, and arithmetic. So my mission statement was three of the greatest R's was number one, religion, you got to believe in somebody stronger than you, and that's God. And the second was respect. You got to respect your God and your country. And the last was responsibility. You're responsible for that, you and why you can't blame mama, daddy, or nobody why you're not making up. So those were the three of the greatest thoughts. So those things were stressed around long, not only self-esteem, but self-worth objectives. In other words, everybody in the school, the janitor, the aides, and all came to the staff meeting. We all had to know the play. And so from that, with that total commitment, you know, it worked because a lot of parents in there, I mean, a lot of the teachers' aides, they had children. Some of them, they knew how to work with children just as well as a teacher when we trying to work with those total domains. So,
how did you work to create trust in the community?
Mostly by example, you know. In other words, I'm not. When I walked in the first day, I told them, I said, I've been downtown, but I'm on a mission, so that doesn't faze me. So running downtown, if you don't understand the play that I'm doing, then that's going to be a problem. I will never write a letter. I will call you and talk to you one on one. You know, I got strong interpersonal and personal skills. I told them that if something is wrong, I don't want your job, because first thing, if I trade you or tell you I don't want you, they might send me someone worse if you own tenure. So they liked that. I said, now I want you to know now. And I went around the room and asked them, because most of them were older teachers, and I told them, let's add up all of the years, and they did. I said, well, I don't have about 10. That means y'all got about 200 years here, 150, 200 years. I said, that means that I'm going to be the first one in line if we fail, saying, yeah, we fail. And so I just gave it to the total group. And that's how you build up trust, you know. You build up with group decision-making process. And I never set up and say mine. The only thing I would ask a person, if you had an idea, there are 3 simple things to be successful to me. And that's if you got an idea, who going to pay for it, who going to do it? And so you raise your hand. See, we got a lot of people with ideas, but who going to do it? And who going to pay for it? Now, you might can skip the middle one. It might be an idea, and who's going to do it? But a whole lot of things, you come up and people raise their hand. I say, fine. Now, you got something better? Who going to pay for it, and who's going to do it? So that's how you build up trust. You build up trust, open it up, and just let them say it. Because a lot of times, everybody complains, say something can be better, because that's your might be your personality. I don't know, but if you can come with something to help this group, let's bring it up. And who's going to do it, and who's going to pay for it?
Can you talk a little about the community education program that you started at the school?
Well, that was the philosophy behind that, and I'm sorry they didn't buy that. I thought it was a odd thing to have it, but I felt that if the school is there and tax dollars, why can't you use them at night, the school? So what I had there, I had even community aid, because I had the police to come in, the police department, police dialogue group. They had a lot of crime at times in the area, and they could talk to the police and say they are helpers. We had cooking and so on. Parents had GED, that meant we could help them with the homework, would help the children. And the community aid program, and then it had recreation in there and cooking and so on. And see, the agency, they love that. In fact, I even had it also on Fridays. We had an activity program. And that's how I initiated it, and by working on Fridays. And after school, we put the extension on in 75. I could have more programs. And the thing that was so beautiful about it, it meant that the teachers, they had, after school, they would come back, and the community, they just knew everybody. In other words, it's just like a home type thing. And the concept was so great. I was lucky, I guess, to take my wife, I forgot the year, but they had a community aid program in Flint, Michigan, Mott Foundation, and they had all 63 schools open at night, and then they also had the churches for community aid, and that total thing there can help educate the entire community. And one of the better schools I attended that I liked as a role model was Whitmire Resource Center in Pontiac, Michigan, while we were up there. And that meant even the parents would ride the school bus with the children. They'd get off and go in one wing, and the parents were going one wing, and then the children were going one wing. And so they were doing some of the same type of activity to help the children. Because, see, a lot of times, the parents, we assume that what happened back there, when we were coming, that they stressed the education so much, I thought my mom and dad had a doctorate. You know, they were strict, and they called my spelling and all like that. But see, a lot of times, now school been so lax that it hadn't been good for their parents and all, so they don't stress it. So that, I think that summed it up basically, the whole philosophy.
What other organizations were you involved in within the school or the community as a whole?
Oh, about everything you can name. I was very much committed to email. We would take some things in. We would do things like, we didn't have a PTA when I first went there. It said about the money-wise, build a PTA. We'd take the children to Washington, D.C. We would take them to the circus. As far as personal, I was on VPI extension, everything you could name, I was just out there. You know, I've always been that person. Didn't require much sleep, so anything in church, speaking engagements and all, I was just totally involved. Different organizations. Not only that, I'm a life member of the NAACP, life member of the SCLC, life member of my fraternity, life member of my college thing. So practically everything. In fact, now I'm trying to tape away, but if anybody asked me that time, I would do it.
It was important for you to take a role in the community.
Oh, yeah. Because, see, people, you know, they like that because I was smart enough to do this, that, you know, everybody going to be used right. But I was smart enough, you're going to use me, I'm coming out of something for the children. You understand me? That's the kind of negotiation I would do. I'd go in, and I know a lot of children they didn't have, and so I could get the agencies and people, they would come in, or different colleges would come in, and they volunteer, help reading and writing and all. So about me being with that, you know, I always wanted to come out with something.
What are a few memorable experiences you had as the principal there?
Oh, gosh. Well, I guess bringing in a new philosophy. That was one, because the teachers, they were just shocked to see me come in there on a Monday, and they didn't know it. That was a great experience. Another great experience, they had several years of Richard L. Chubb Day, you know. Now, you can imagine turning that many people around in a school where the majority of them from maybe another race, and they having Richard Chubb Day after all this. So they turned that around in no time. That was great because it was total commitment, and we had the thing where we did a lot of things together after school in community aid. So that was great. It could work, you know. It could work. You could have different races working together. And another experience I think was great. This student wrote me 2 years ago. I cannot pronounce her name. She was a foreign student. She came to Hurt Park and couldn't speak English. And I just looked at her and talked. I know that people know love and they can see sincerity in your eyes. I don't care what country you're from. And she couldn't speak English or anything. But anyway, I just put it in one of the teacher's room in the second grade. And I noticed every morning she would come and grin with me and then hug me and then I hug her. Well, 2 years ago, I got a letter, and she'd been looking for me. And she finished law school and everything. Those are the experiences that I got a personality check with my cars and everything. And I didn't realize we had when you read that, you see a breakfast program. Well, not only that, I argued with the school official and all, if they're hungry. In the winter, they're hungry in the summer, so I started a summer program. And so he told me, he said, you know, the reason why I still come to see you and recognize what you did for me, I heard you laid a person out saying the same thing, if you're hungry in the winter, they're hungry in the summer. And I'm going to have a summer feeding program. And she was telling me the laws and all. I said, forget about the laws. I'll worry about that when I get caught. But to make a long story short, he's grown. He's got a son that's a pretty good athlete. But when he told me that, he said, if you can look back, can you remember I was the first one every day in that summer feeding program waiting to eat? I just didn't have food. So those things, that's another experience. And then I guess the other experience is just being thankful now. I never thought I would see this day, the day where I told them about this attendance thing. You know, you just sometimes it's good to smell the roses along the way, but sometimes you don't make it to know what's going on. But to see what is happening, you know, with some of the programs I've done, and to see the people who didn't support me at the time, that they come up and say, well, I wish we had done this. I wish we had done this. 38 years gone now, and it's still an attendance problem. So those are highlights. I can name them on and on, but as we talk, it might come up again, because a lot of times things just hit you, you know, after being retired 19 years, that there are so many things. But I think those are highlights there.
What challenges did you undergo?
The school system above me. I told them I'm here on a mission. In fact, I had to tell the superintendent one time, basically, you know, you're not going to get rid of me the middle of the year. Because I was on a mission, you know, and I told him up front. Because I knew what it was. It was all about this. It wasn't, they wanted me to fail. And so what I did do, it was smart, and what it was so beautiful. Once I didn't trust the system, you know what I did? I took out my own retirement. You understand? That meant I had to know the economy. I had to know about the Dow Jones, S&P, NASDAQ. Not only that, I talked to a buddy of mine, and of course this was a little before because I was getting ready, I guess, before in 1966. I invited 12 guys to my house and told them the day was going to be just like this. These people coming to our country, learning our language, they ain't going to be fools all the time. We taking their stuff. And so that's why we control them by a foreign country without name. But my point, what I'm saying, you know, that's vision, you know, when you feel like you own your own and think all of it wasn't bad. And that's really why I'm saying I was blessed now by retiring early. I've been able to drive with two big motor coaches every state you can drive in about twice on vacation. I don't like to fly, but my wife and daughter says it's a shame not to go to Hawaii. So I did make that trip, so I got them all in, and I stayed over a whole month. You know, I wouldn't think about it. I was worried about how I was going to get back across that water. So those are the things. And then I was able to look at other school systems when I go visit, and we went to Alaska and stayed 3 months, you know, to drive up there on that trip. So those type of things that sometimes, you know, that some things, both of you young, you're in school, you don't realize that if you take that stand when you get old, you don't feel bad. You know why? Because I don't wish what I said, I wish what I done. You can't go back and get them, you know. And to see me now, you know, to walk, and it's like this morning, as I told you, you know, 4 miles, and, you know, just excited, got to leave here. Heavy and political thing back in, you know, people now, and so it's, those are rewarding things.
What was the school population like? What were the students like at your school?
What was the population? Mm-hmm. Well, can you imagine the school now? I don't know this, so I can't quote it accurate, but I've had 500 students or more, and now most schools got assistant principal, full-time counselor. I didn't have none. I had part-time counselor. But you can understand that it was just hard work. I get to school about 6:30 or 7, and I did all my paperwork before the people got there. Now, if I would teach a class once a week, if the students ran the substitute away, they had me for a week until they got done. So that's where it was. I was just there. In fact, I'd go there some mornings at 1 o'clock or at 3:30, because my average time walking then, year-round, was like 3:30 in the mornings before going to work.
What did you like best about your role in the community?
The people could call on me. Parents, even when the children got out of hand, someone was really rough, and they wanted to, my wife was real interested. She said, gosh, you're not the daddy at all. Sometimes they wouldn't respect their parents, and the parents called me. I go middle of the night anytime. You know, I was just available. So being that role model and being a community person that really would tell the truth, you know, and sometimes, you know, people be afraid of your own because they think you're going to start something, you know. But I just had God with me. I was on a mission. That's the key to it. If I can pass on anything, when you got a mission and something you're going to do, you know, nobody going to turn you around, you know. I mean, I probably could have lost my job. I never forget. When this article came out here, Principal school due to close, the assistant superintendent called me. Can you imagine? He called me, and he said, did you mean to say this, what this came out of the paper? I said, I said more than that. I told him, I'm sick of you professional migratory workers coming in my town telling me what to do or say. So maybe he left in a year or two. But I told him, I'm going to be here, you know, and this is going to be my community. I grew up here, and I know the problems we had, and this is on them. Ready to be an agent of change, you got to be on a mission.
What were some important events or celebrations at the school?
Well, as I told you, one of them, without being modest by the Richard L. Chubb Day, they had buttons and all, and they had Key to the City. That was about in 1977, and they did it or 2 or 3 years in a row, you know. The other thing, like a breakfast program was initiated there, community education, all it, and from those things, other things came, you know. It was a community type thing. People from the different colleges came and did volunteer work, just different agencies. So those were the accomplishments there.
Do you remember any personal experiences one-on-one with a student? Good experiences?
Yeah, I think I mentioned that with the girl that came, couldn't mm-hmm. speak English. Do you want me to repeat that again?
No, it's okay. I was okay. Wondering if you had any other.
Yeah, and...
Do you remember any families throughout your period?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Talk about it.
That's what I see over and over. I've seen families that did quite well, the whole family structure. I could see it as they would go. They would take students. Okay, if they had children at other schools had problems, or teachers, you know where they would send them? To me. I took pride in it. So those students now, they thank me because they know that was the only chance they had. So not only that, parents were told that, okay, you can't work here directly, but if you say you live in that area, children will take you. But although they wouldn't praise that. So I had those type of things, you know. Teachers who they didn't fit at another school, they would call me up and say, well, you know, boom, would you like another teacher? Sure. Because that meant that I can have more help to help the students. But if they didn't dress a particular way at this school, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So they would send them to me. But the thing that's so beautiful about it, that's why they really thanked me about it, because I was just that kind of person. I wasn't there to fire nobody. I let them know even me that I can work with you, because that's not it. I can help you if you tell me. And that kind of stuff, it passes throughout. And you've been somewhere 15 years, you know, people want to come in, and they just didn't leave, you know. My turnover, you just didn't have it much to turnover. Sometime, I guess, it might have been good in a way, but it was good because a lot of times I knew what students to put with certain teachers from other family experiences. You know, and then sometimes the parents, I'd listen to them, and I always, you know had certain techniques. They come in, some of them, I was in the area, you know, where they really would, they might not take a lawyer on, you know, but I was strong enough, athletic enough to show them, especially in basketball, we had a court there if they wanted, think they can try old coach, whether it's that or whatever it might be, you know. That was the way it was, you know. And those experiences like that, I think that was most rewarding, to be frank about it.
And finally, why did you want to be a principal?
Because I've been around in the school, never been assistant principal. And I was telling people, you know, I was just at that point, they said Harrison School. I think they led me into it in a way, because they knew they were going to close it, but I was a people person. In fact, every school I worked with, the parents would come and say, you know, we see you all the time. You're in the community and you visit homes. I always visit them. You ought to be the principal. So they led me into this because they knew they were going to close the school. But in the meantime, being a people person, you see, I just said that, gosh, if I didn't do anything but go meet the people, I'd be better than what it's about when you're dealing with people, the person and interpersonal skills. Now, you got to have the knowledge, too. So that led me in. I said, I know I can do this. Good gosh. I mean, you're only skid, running. You don't sit and talk to the parents and all. And so that's what I did. Never been an assistant principal. Never taught in elementary school, per se. Mine mostly was on high school and junior high school level. But when they pointed me there, you know, I guess I used the opportunity to have a whole lot of rewarding experiences. I always said, with the help of an instructor, an education experience is one that leads the learner better for having had it. These experiences, man, I mean, I'm just bubbling. I mean, even sleep still had. I mean, as I was telling him, because it's just amazing to see this, just to see how, you know, someone will take and try to just, I mean, every day people call him it. It ain't worth it. Some of their own people, it's not worth it, you know. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your house. I ain't hear that worth nothing. Because I was on a mission. I wanted to see something that could change. And now to be able to see, as I told you before, it's not a week that goes by, a teacher or a student don't come to visit me. And as I was telling you about this young lady, and she didn't finish school. I wish I could just name the experiences, the people who've been successful that I've been with. It's like, to give you a good example, George Lynch came to my school. He ended up playing pro ball. The people that, you know, that ended up doing quite well, and some of them didn't. And then some of them, they said what happened to them when they left Hurd Park without that discipline. That's when some of them went down. And I picked up a paper the other day, and after the fella left and went into another school, I was trying to help him, but he got in a whole lot of trouble, you know. And the first thing they tell me, I just wish that I'd had that structure, you know.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Anything you want to ask me.
Do you have any other experiences about students or families specifically in Hurd Park that you'd like to share about your changing, because you were definitely influencing students' lives a lot.
Well, see, the thing, what I'm saying, I'm a licensed professional counselor now. I closed my business in 2002, but now we have to get 20 hours to keep our license. I used to get about 30, and the reason why, because I do a lot of volunteer work. I'm in nursing homes two or three times a week. My philosophy now that there are some people who have done well, they say no child left behind. I say no adult left behind. I wish I mentioned to some people in politics we ought to have some no adults left behind. These are people now who got to cut medicine in half. They don't have certain things to eat. And I'm just blessed because financially I can do it. So what I do even now, I take not only some of my relatives, they have me a little rough, I reach back because I can see what's happening in my own situation that some of my family members let people place more value on material things than that education. So I hate to see that because you don't want to go back. So some of these things that I do now on a voluntary basis, I have liability insurance because doing it free, you can get sued as well as you're getting paid for it. So the other thing about it, I delicate wear over the 11th District, you know, that he's already, he's from Greensboro, but he adopted me as his daddy. He got a conference room that over here that's named for me, you know, Ariel Chubb Conference Room. So I'm on a political team. All of them are much younger, and they say they need my wisdom, and part of it is because I know the people, you know, in time to vote and things like that. So in things like working with the elderly and sometimes adopting the family, taking them to church and setting up needed funds for people, you know, and rather than have to get it out of my pocket, sometimes I let them come to our church, you know, and it's a little fun I set up there for needed folks. And anything else? You have anything you'd like to say?
I just wonder if you are keeping in touch with the Hurd Park Elementary School, and how do you think it's changing over time since you left?
Well, most of the school areas have changed anyway because they've had too many people in new.
Yeah.
And that's not good. Scores are bad. They're beginning to see some things I mentioned to them years ago. And that is, you know, when you start working with people, you got to build trust. And if you don't have good skills in that area, you know, in other words, I've seen people try to do like me, visit a home, and you don't have to be dressed any different than I've always been dressed. But people can tell how you turn up your nose or how you're looking at them and all. It's a feeling type thing, you know. So a lot of people can't do it. I think a lot of it, some of it's innate. You know, it's just like some people are born with certain gifts, and I just, use what you got. You know, I'm not saying nothing couldn't happen, but I just wasn't afraid of it. I mean, I was in an area where, they was fighting. You know, and I just let them know, I can do that too, and so, but also, it's good to be able to use the greatest gift you got, and that's to talk. So.
Well, it was great talking with you.
Okay.
We've covered most everything. Thank you so
okay.
much for participating.
Well, I enjoy talking to you, and if you think of anything else, just give me a call.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.